God a God of consuming fire, or is He a God of compassion and mercy and love? The eternal question. There's no answer for that question from man. Only the Holy Spirit can answer that question. And He answers it in every individual case. The answer is God is both a God of consuming fire and a God of love and compassion. And each case must be tried on its own merit, and only the Holy Spirit has that right to decide. And not you, and not me. Praise God. If you've got the Holy Spirit in here tonight, you qualify for these gifts. And I want to tell you this, these gifts work in your family life. When you're dealing with your children, sometimes you need a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. In your business, it operates in the homes. Jesus, here's this next one. Look at this next one. A word of knowledge. That's information, knowledge that you don't know. God just gives you something and you don't even know what it is. What Jesus needed was not human intellect. Jesus the Christ never did a single miracle by His own God power. Not one. Matthew chapter 12 says He cast out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit. In John 14 it says, Jesus said, the Father in me is doing the works. The Holy Spirit. Every miracle Jesus performed He did with charismata, Holy Spirit power. How did Jesus know Lazarus was raised from the dead? How did He know he was dead? He said, Lazarus is dead. How do you know? Every one of you been led to believe, well, that was because He was God. He was God. He never quit being God, but He divested Himself of ever using His God power. The Holy Spirit told Him Lazarus was dead. How did He know Philip was under the tree? A word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit. Every miracle Jesus did, He used the gifts that we're reading right here that the Holy Spirit had and gave to Him. For Christ had the Spirit without measure, according to John 3:34. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, words of knowledge. Words of knowledge. Now, what's a word of knowledge? That's a fact. That's a tremendous fact. Jesus said to the woman in Samaria, He says, go home to your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. He says, baby, are you ever right? You've had five and you're living in adultery common law right now. How did He know that? A word of knowledge, a fact from God that He gave to minister. I'll never forget the first time I ever received a word of knowledge. These are grace gifts. You don't deserve them. You're not good enough. You're not spiritual enough. God just does it because He wants to meet these people. I flew over to Albuquerque. Got off the plane, got in a car, and drove to Santa Fe. Gave my testimony to a full gospel group that night of about 350 people. When it was over, a young man and young woman came down in front of me. He was about 28. She was about 24. They were weeping. They said, Floyd, we've been separated for 4 months. We're in the process of filing for divorce. We don't even know why we're divorcing. We love each other, but we can't seem to stop. I didn't know she was going to be here tonight. She didn't know I was going to be here tonight. We just both happened to come. Happened to come. You got that? And I heard me say, the reason you're in the process of a divorce is because you both were on drugs and you got her pregnant and you had to marry her and she's never believed you really loved her. And that's the wedge that's separating your marriage. I never had seen them in my life. I knew nothing about them. That's all they said and that's what I said. I couldn't believe I said it. I stood there stunned. He looked at her, she looked at him, and she said, that's it. I've never believed you married, that you loved me. That was a word of knowledge. It wasn't given because I was spiritual or wonderful. It was given because they came not to Floyd Jones, but to God Almighty with a problem. We fell on our knees and we wept. All of us wept. We stayed down there praying and for about 30 minutes. And they got up and they started out and they said, Floyd, we know how to stop the divorce now. And they went out that place and I hadn't seen them since, but I know how the story ended. How many of you know that we need the charismata in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today? The next thing he says down here, verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now this isn't a measure of faith. Every one of you have a measure of faith. You got saved on. This is talking about mountain-moving, charismata, kaboom faith. When you get this kind of faith, no one can talk you out of it. I remember a few months back, many of you knew a man named Jack Flatt. I baptized Jack. I wasn't the one that led him to the Lord, but I baptized him over at a swimming pool one night. Jack came out of that pool. He talked to me and he said, Floyd, I've had 3 heart attacks already. I don't know how much time I've got left, but every minute I've got, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. And he did. A few days later, I heard he'd had a heart attack. Another one. They took him to the hospital and they gave him open heart surgery. Several days went by, about four. I received a phone call. Jack is failing. Everyone else that had open heart surgery that day was up and moving. Jack was going down. They had him in intensive care and he was not expected to make it through the night. And I was supposed to teach that night down in Sugar Land, Texas. So I left the house early and I started down I-45 going down to St. Luke's. And I said, God, Jack is a brand new baby Christian. He's done a lot of witnessing in the last few days, but Lord, he doesn't know much about the Scriptures. If you're going to take him home, I need to tell him that he doesn't have to worry. I need to tell him angels are going to take him to your presence. I need to tell him that there's no purgatory, that absence from the body is presence with the Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, that he's got nothing to worry about. I need to comfort him with the words of God if you're taking him home. But God, if you're going to heal him, I can teach him that a year from now. If you're God, I'm not walking in there and go through some holy charismatic ritual. God, I need to know from you which message to take. Are you going to heal him or not? Now, beloved, the charismatic gifts are gifts. They're like that book. They have yellow. They're packages. They got a pretty yellow ribbon on them. And we need one. And God says, oh, we need the gift of healing here. And he throws us a gift of healing. No man has, quote, the gift of healing. These are gifts. Look at the word. It's plural. Gifts of healing. I get this gift. Rich is sick. I take it to him. There it is, Rich. I didn't need it. I'm well. You needed it. You were sick. And now I step back and, beloved, I can't brag. I have no arrogance whatsoever. I don't have a gift of healing anymore. To get another one, I got to go to God and he gives it to me. Otherwise, the flesh could glory. As soon as Rich is healed, that gift disappears. And if he gets sick again, we need another gift from God. Someone says, are you sure about that, Floyd? Think of tongues, those of you that know about and speak in tongues. I can speak in tongues anytime I want to. That's not the gift of tongues. That's my prayer language. I can do that anytime I want to, and I can shut up anytime I want to. But suddenly, see, my prayer language starts from me and goes up to God. 1 Corinthians 14 says, no one knows what I'm saying. No interpretation. No one knows what I'm saying. Paul says, in church, I hardly ever spoke in tongues in 1 Corinthians 14, but boy, I spoke in tongues more than anybody else. When did he do it? In private. Well, if he did it in private, how's that edifying the body of Christ? It's not. It's edifying Paul. It's building him up. He didn't need interpretation. His spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, was praying to God. And so my prayer language starts inside me and goes straight to God. But the gift of tongues comes from the Father. There it is. I got it. I caught it. Yellow ribbon. But it isn't for me. It's for you. And I'll get to hear it too. I give it out. Every charismatic gift is in the form of a cross. They come down from Father by the Holy Spirit and go vertically and go horizontally out to people. You've got it. All grace comes in the shape of a cross. You did know that, didn't you? Hallelujah. It's a good day. And so, I can't get that anytime I want it. I cannot make God give me a message in tongues for this group anytime I want to. Or any other group. He does that as the Holy Spirit decides. Okay? That's what it means by the Holy Spirit severally deciding. And anyone in here can get any one of these nine gifts anytime God wants to have it. We hadn't got people just, see, what if this row right here was the only ones with charismatic gifts and they decided to leave all of us? Well, I guess the rest of us never would see anything happen anymore. Garbage. That's not the way God operates at all. Now, it's true that God will use certain people more than others. You know why? Because God has a tendency of responding to faith. Even though this is grace, complete grace, a man and or a woman usually there are more in the Lord. They're in the Word. They're with the body of Christ. They're praying for other people. They're talking and communing and worshiping God and adoring God. Their faith increases as a result of that. And as a result of that, God usually will use that person more than other people. And after he's been used once, man, he just expects to be used again. He comes to church all prayed up and waiting. Man, he can't wait to get down here. Lord, what are you going to do down here today? No, I cannot get a gift of tongues anytime I want. And then, here comes another gift, interpretation. It didn't come to me this time, though it came to Bill. Horizontally, or vertically. Now he gives it out to us horizontally, and it blesses us. Hallelujah. And so, beloved, I'm riding down the road, and I said, Lord, I will not go in there and go through some holy charismatic guru-type ritual. If you're not going to heal him, I'm not going to pray for him to be healed. I need to know what you want me to minister to the man. I heard nothing. I drove 15 more minutes. I heard nothing. I pulled up in the parking lot at St. Luke's and I turned the key off and I said, God, I mean business. I've only got 25 minutes. I've got an appointment down in Sugarland to teach. You sent me down there. You expect me to be on time. We hadn't got much time, Lord. I won't go in if you don't answer. And I sat there in silence. And all of a sudden, I heard John 11:4. And I've learned to recognize my own thinking as compared to His voice. I picked up my pocket Bible, was in my coat. I pulled it out, and I opened the Bible. Would you believe where I opened it to? John 11:4. It just fell open. And John, it's funny. I should have known what John 11:4 said. I know that verse. But I couldn't think of it. It wouldn't come. Because He wanted to confirm it by letting me see it. It just fell right to it. Now, I don't believe in just letting Bibles fall right to things alone. But this time, it was a confirmation. And it says concerning Lazarus, this sickness is not unto death, it is for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. That was a supernatural, charismatic gift of faith. I had so much faith in, if I'd have walked in the building and they were carrying him out and said he's dead, they'd taken him to the morgue. I said, don't put him in the grave yet. He's coming back. Because God had, you couldn't take that faith away from me. I had received not the faith to be saved, oh, not a measure of faith. I had so much faith in that moment, nothing could dissuade me. I went into the intensive care unit. I looked around. I saw bodies lying everywhere. Just people looked terrible. Some of them were in such bad shape they didn't even have clothes on them. Tubes going everywhere. Satan just used that horrible scene to just crush me. My faith fell to my toes. But suddenly I remembered, wait a minute, I don't have a word from God for these people. I've got a word from God for Jack Flatt. Where's Jack? Where's Jack? A nurse came up and said, who are you looking for? What are you doing here? I said, I minister to Jack Flatt. She said, he's in that private room right there. I saw a half-glass room. There was a doctor in there shooting medicine into the tubes and ministering to him. I walked in. He was conscious. He had a face mask on with oxygen and moisture. I don't know what all was going into him, but tubes everywhere. I said, Jack, do you know who I am? He said, yeah, you're Floyd. I said, Jack, I know you're weak and you're tired. I won't stay long. You won't be weak and tired long. I said, God Almighty has sent me down here with a message from you, and I quickly told him exactly how it happened. And I said, Jack, I didn't want to make the doctor mad and anoint him with oil, you know, and I just laid on the hand. I said, Jack, you will be healed. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing. That was it. That doctor nearly died. He flinched one you wouldn't believe. But you couldn't talk me out of it. You could have told me anything. And I said, he's coming back if he's dead. I had the gift of faith and a gift of healing. I had the supernatural gift of healing to leave with him. And I gave it to him and walked out. The next day they took him out of intensive care, and 4 days later he went home. Jack went down to ET, and he told, I heard words everywhere. He was giving his testimony. He was telling people all about Jesus. Now you want to hear the end of the story? 3 months later, God took him home. But it wasn't his heart. You say, why'd God do that? Don't ask me. God didn't tell me that. But God healed his heart. He did not die of heart trouble. He had a stroke. But I'll tell you what, he touched a lot of lives those last 3 months. And the story of God healing him from that heart condition has touched many a human life. Verse 9, gift of faith by the same Spirit. Gift of healing by the same Spirit. I've explained that. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirits. Beloved, it says in Mark 16 that these signs will follow who? The apostles and the evangelists? No! Those that believe. These signs are for you. Listen to me. These charismatic gifts are not supposed to just happen in the church. They're supposed to happen anywhere that a believer is present. It happens in the home. Some of you are having trouble with your children. Don't you know what you need? You need a charismatic gift of knowledge and a gift of wisdom to handle the problem. We haven't expected this to happen, so it hadn't happened. Ask God to give it to you. Lord, I can't handle this problem with this rebellious child. Lord, my wife and I are having a problem. I need more than I've got. I need charismata, grace, Father. I need grace. You want to know how to get grace? God, it says in James, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. In spirit. Humble yourself before God and you'll receive these extra measures of grace. Otherwise, God will resist giving it to you if you're proud. You need to understand, some people walk around and say, oh, I'm an evangelist, I'm a Bible teacher, I'm this, big deal. Don't you understand that Jesus Christ was never conscious of being an apostle or a prophet? What was he conscious of? What did he always say was, he was the Son of God. Don't you understand that the call to be a son of God is greater than the call to be a prophet, teacher, evangelist, if to ever do a miracle? But praise God, make sure you understand that there's coming a day in the very near future we won't need any of these gifts anymore. Because we'll have the living Son with us, and we will behold His face, and we will see Him as He is, and we will know as we are known. Right now we're children, and we need these gifts. When perfection comes, when the kingdom comes, when Jesus comes, when we receive our new bodies and these better minds, we won't need this stuff. These are helps. These, in fact, are to enable us. These are enablements. These things are to enable us to participate in Jesus' ministry.
Now, I don't hardly ever use anyone that's got worldly wisdom and worldly power and things like that. Because if I do, they'll think they're doing it. See, every single time that God is in something, every time that God is in something, it takes three things. First, there is the birth of a vision. You think God wants you to do something. I don't care whether it's a supernatural vision or just you feel very impressed in your spirit that God wants you to do something. Such as Joseph. Joseph had a vision. He saw his whole family bowing down to him. He says, man, my whole family, I'm going to be a big man someday. God's given me a vision. The next thing that has to happen for that to be of God is the death of the vision. A vision has to die in order to, if it's from God, to ever bear fruit. Sometimes even, if it's going to be a big work, there has to be double and triple death. I mean, so that it's so dead that only God could pull it out. You say, what do you mean, the death of a vision? Well, first he became a slave. Man, let's face it. How is it your whole family is going to bow down to you and you're going to be a high man on totem pole if you're a slave? Death of the vision. Then double death. Old Joseph was going to be a big man in God's plan, so it took double death. Double death, he got put in prison. I mean, let's face it, a slave that's in prison is even worse. Then, supernatural resurrection of the vision. A man had a dream and God gave him the supernatural understanding of that dream. And the result of that was his family came down and bowed down to him. How about Abraham? Abraham had a vision. I will have many, many children. Death of the vision. There's the vision. There's the vision. Death of the vision. Sarah was barren. Now this was going to be a pretty big deal. So, double death. Sarah then went through menopause. Double death. Dead womb, double dead womb. Triple death. The scriptures reveal to us in the New Testament that Abraham himself became physically incapable of reproduction. He was flat too old. Triple death. There's the vision. Abe, you're going to have many, 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 many children. Death of the vision. Ain't no way. Except the resurrection, supernatural power of God. God resurrected their dead physical bodies. Their reproductively dead bodies. And the entire nation of Israel, the Messiah, and all this comes. That is a principle in the Bible, and there's no exceptions. And Satan always wants to try and avoid this. Look at me, look at me. Satan doesn't want this to happen. Satan will help you think you've got to help God out to keep the vision from dying. Someone says, someone in your church, and you all pray, and you know, God wants us to build a building. God wants us to send out missionaries. God wants us to do something. The birth of a vision. And then things begin to go wrong. And we begin to try and keep it from dying. And we'll work. Satan wants that to happen because when he can keep the vision from dying, man gets the glory. Oh, I came up with the idea that saved the whole program, fellas. Rich donated $10 million and saved the program. That's all about under Rich. God says, no way. I want that thing to die so that only supernatural power. Now, it's misspelled, but I'm thinking. Supernatural resurrection power from God to pull the thing off. Then you know God's pulled it off. Now, God gave the vision whether the man got his hands in it and ruined it or not. God gave the vision. Okay? And so God says, I don't want there's not many that are wealthy, not many that are smart by world standards that are going to be used in this calling. Because they will pull it off with their great intellect. And they will get the glory. And to finish this verse, it says, the discerning of spirits. Let me tell you something. If you're not in touch with God, you can't fight a spiritual battle. You can't fight a spiritual battle if you can't see the battlefield. If you came in here today and you leave and says, well, that was a nice meeting. Brothers and sisters, if you don't have spiritual discernment, you don't even know what happened in this room today. You didn't see the battle that was going on. You go to church, if you don't have discernment, you say, well, how do I get discernment? Grace. Humble yourself before God. He'll give it to you. John chapter 7, verse 17 says this. If any man wills to do God's will, he will know of the doctrine, the teaching, whether it's God's or man's. All you got to do is want to do God's will, and he says, I'll give you discernment. I'll let you know. Hallelujah. And so these are enablements to help us participate in his ministry. It says, the discerning of spirits to another, tongues and interpretation of tongues. We've talked about that. All of these works that one and the self-same Spirit dividing to every man individually as he will. And God gives it individually as is needed. Sometimes we don't need tongues. What we need is a word of knowledge. Young man, you got her pregnant when you were on drugs. We needed knowledge. God gave us knowledge, a supernatural knowledge that happened and it met the need. Another time we may need a tongue and an interpretation of a tongue. But God says the Holy Spirit will minister every one of these as is needed. Now, beloved, God has used me for every one of those. I disobeyed him on one and didn't do it. And he's never let me use that one again. But the other eight, he has used me for. Therefore, he'll use you for them because I'm not getting them because I'm good enough. It's grace. It's just flat out grace. Do they happen to me all the time? Nope. He decides when they're going to happen. I don't. Hallelujah. And beloved, the purpose of these gifts is to produce and grow fruit in us. The fruit of the Spirit, which is the love of God. And if that happens first, if that kind of fruit comes forth in our lives first, then there'll be another kind of fruit, a harvest. Because God wants to grow us up into the image and the likeness of His Son so that He can bring many sons into the glory of God. Parting shot, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Not by your might, Floyd Jones. Not by your power and intelligence, Floyd Jones, but by my Spirit, says the Lord your God. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah.